Marcus Brown, it's been a minute, man.
What's good, bro?
Listen to me. I know you do a ton of interviews. Do you remember the last time we chopped it up in my podcast?
I can't remember what the last thing I freaking ate last night. probably not.
Marcus, it was 2012, my sixth podcast ever, right before you were heading to London to fight in the Olympics.
Crazy. Holy moly.
You
what number you at now?
It's 350 or something. I got hired and I got sponsors. You went Hollywood on me though, champ.
Nah, I was just busy, bro.
I gotta talk about you. So I do talk some trash about you. I had on Mick Conlin, Carl Frampton, Regis Prograde, Xander, and I'm like, listen, when you guys get huge, don't forget me like Sir Marcus Brown. But now we're best friends again, so I take it all back. You accept my apology?
Nah, apology not accepted.
Hey, let's go back to the Olympics. Staten Island kid, how surreal was it representing the United States, doing the walk, doing the ceremony in the Olympics?
It was cool. Good experience. Be around the greats. But, yeah, we're professional now, and we just focused on becoming a world champion again.
Which you're going to do. I got to ask you this question, Marcus. You come home from the Olympics. Is it similar to recruiting a high school football or basketball player? Like, all these promotions want you. Is that how it is?
Not necessarily, but I made the right choice.
And what made you choose who you chose?
Because Al Heyman's the man, and he's the man.
He's really the greatest, and it's like going to the Yankees. You have to go to Al Heyman, right?
I mean, you don't have to. Every man can make their own decisions. I felt like I wanted to.
You came out like a ball of fire, Marcus. Do you realize you fought in 2012, November, December, March, April, June? You were fighting like every other month. Physically, does that drain on you, or you were just trying to get some ring time?
Nah, man. This is what I do. So, you know, I was doing what I love. And I still love it, so I'm still doing it.
Early on as a boxer, you were such a highly touted, like, phenom, this rookie. Did you want to get more time in the ring? Because a lot of your fights, you were dominating first and second round. Was that good for you mentally, or did you want to get more time in the ring?
Nah, you don't get paid for overtime in boxing. Yeah. However the outcome came out is how I wanted it to be.
Let's fast forward. You're 22-0. You had that huge fight January 2019, a year and a half ago, at the MGM Grand. Mm-hmm. Badu Jack, it goes to the decision. You win. You're on top of the boxing world. How'd you celebrate that night in Vegas with the world watching?
With my family, bro. Regular. So calm, cool, calm, collected with my family.
No crazy partying or anything?
Nah, no crazy partying. I party with my family, bro. Nah. I'm not a party guy.
I know you're not.
I'm a vacation guy.
Yeah, where do you like to vacation?
It all depends on how the weather is. I like the Caribbean.
Of course. Let's pause now, Marcus. You're the champ. When did that mentally sink in, that all that hard work, growing up in Staten Island, the trials, the tribulations, and now you're wearing the belt, did that mentally sink in, and how long did that take?
Nah, I really didn't. I mean, yeah. So I think I need to get that feeling again.
Really? So why didn't it sink in? You just like, did you expect it? Is that why?
Yeah, and I'm never satisfied. So.
Wow. What keeps motivating you? What keeps driving you to be the best?
To be a champion and to do all the things I said I was going to do.
Which you are doing. Staten Island born, they always say at every show, Staten Island born and raised. I know you just moved. I just sent you something. But what made you leave the island? And besides the traffic and the drama, do you miss anything about it?
Nah, I don't miss nothing about it, to be honest.
Dude, me either, man.
I'm happy where I'm at.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, I'm just in the space I'm in, and Staten Island's not a place for me no more. I was born there. Mm-hmm. And even I was raised in East Flatbush and Fall Rockaway, then moved back to Staten Island. So, I mean,
oh, really?
Okay. That's not a place for me.
Yeah, I left 10 years ago. It was the smartest thing I ever did, man. And when people stay, and I don't, my family's still there, so I never knock it, but it's like, dude, there's a whole world out there. If you leave that little bubble, dude, it's mentally peaceful, isn't it?
I mean, I haven't been there for 5 years, so I can't even relate.
Good for you, man. Hey, does your mom still have that restaurant out there?
Yes, she does.
Is it doing great?
Yep, the line is always long.
Favorite meal your mom makes?
Fish and shrimp.
You when you start making some money, what's the first thing you bought mom?
Shit. I took care of a lot of her bills. Mm-hmm. I helped my mom get a restaurant. So, yeah.
You did your part. Hey, growing up as a kid, and I love having boxes on, Marcus, and you grew up, I think, near Park Hill. You just mentioned Far Rockaway, East New York. Sadly, a lot of those have a lot of high crime rate. What made you stay away from the violence and the gang activity that unfortunately plagues a lot of people in that area?
Violent and gang activities.
Yeah, what made you stay away from all that stuff that you didn't get caught up in the cycle?
I mean, that's because the cycle wasn't built for people like my kind. Mm-hmm. So it's a trap. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, with the things going on nowadays, we're trying to reform things and fix things because they criminalize people from where I'm from.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even really do anything. So, that's just a crooked system, to be honest. It's not me not getting caught in a cycle.
Uh-huh.
And on another note, I just love fighting. So boxing was, I went in the gym, fell in love with it, and it's what I'm doing still to today.
And the reason I always admire you from afar, Marcus, and I mean this, is you never once, when you weren't the biggest name and now you're a huge name, you've always made sure to mentor the kids and be like, dude, let's do everything right. You've always done the right thing, dude, and that's such a role model thing that you do. You know, I know you talk your trash on Twitter. You're one of the best trash talkers in the game. But the way you give back to the community, man, it's so admirable, man. So I just want to tell you, I always respected that about you.
I mean, even before I had a real anything, I used to give back. So, I mean, that's just in me to do that.
And one, not political stuff, the reform thing. Thank God things are happening. A lot of the peaceful stuff is happening because you do need to bring attention to everything going on in that community. Don't you agree?
Yeah, that's a fact. And it's just sad because, you know, kids, you know, they've got young kids that make mistakes. So mm-hmm. Literally their whole life is basically already predestined to continue to fall into a trap to get in trouble. So.
Hey, I know you're a private guy. You're a proud father of three. You posted a picture on Instagram of your daughter. Absolutely beautiful. What, she just graduate?
Yeah, well, not just graduate, mm-hmm. but last school year. Yeah, yep.
Hey, one last family question. I know you don't like talking about your family. How's your pops doing? I know he was sick with Corona and he was dealing with that.
Nah, he's doing good. He's actually in real good shape now. So he's holding up and doing his thing.
Hey, the mental game of boxing, I have so many boxers on. I became close friends with so many of them. It's a strange one. It's mental. It can be very, very...
Close friends? You really think it's close friends?
Well, one, I'm going to say I have two close friends, I'll tell you. I think Mick Conlon's a close friend because we hang out all the time. And Adam Kovsnesky, okay. the boxer, just because I work where he lives and we hang out maybe once or twice a month. So I consider that pretty decent friends, no?
Yeah, Adam is a good dude. I came up with him in the amateurs.
Dude, he's a...
Mike, I've had lunch with his pops, but back in a couple of years ago, when mm-hmm. he used to train with Manny Robles.
Yes, yes, yes. You, but like I was saying, Marcus, the mental game of boxing, it is a strange one because it can be, it's a lonely sport, especially when you're on top. Everyone's there to carry you and everyone's there. When you do have a loss, when you have a defeat, do you feel like it's a lonely sport and mentally you have to decompress and take care of yourself, mental well-being?
Nah, well, I mean, taking care of your mental health is just, that's important overall.
Mm-hmm.
Despite, you know, but I've already experienced that. I went to the Olympics, you know, people riding me, and you know, so I know who my close friends and family are. So I don't even have those problems.
Yeah, dude, I love that you're such a family guy. So I think that helps you out a lot with this whole process, doesn't it?
I mean, I wouldn't want to be wasting my time with just friends all the time. You know, I got kids, I got to raise. So that's the most important thing to me, to be honest.
Light heavyweight, is that where you want to stay, or would you ever move up or down for the right fight?
I can't move down. I've been freaking fighting at 175 for a decade now.
I know.
I think I've been getting bigger, but, you know, I got to maintain my weight. So I think this is where I'm at, because the wheels fall off.
24 fights, most of them been in the tri-state area. I know you had the championship fight in Vegas. You fought in Cincinnati. Any arenas you're dying to fight in?
The next one I fight in.
Oh, so you're not one
dying to fight.
So you're not one of those guys who are like, oh, I really want to fight at the Garden, or I really want to fight at the Staples Center. You're not one of those guys?
I mean, I fought at the Garden
mm-hmm.
when I was in the amateurs. That's not the big arena, but you know, I fought there. Vegas, the MGM Grand was cool to fight in. So that was like, you know, one of the bucket list. But besides that, I'm not one of them guys. I just want to fight. No, I'm not right now.
And let's talk about fighting. You've been out of the ring for a year now. Like I said, you're a champion trash talker game on Twitter. Anything in the works? Listen, obviously you're not going to break news and stuff, but is there a fight upcoming, hopefully?
Nah, there's nothing really in the works. I'm just trying to, you know, see if one of these guys will fight. I'm willing and ready to fight any of these guys, especially the guys that make it seem like nobody wants to fight them. So I'm here whenever they're ready.
And are you staying? Listen, obviously you're training. Are you still in the gym? Are you still working out? Because it has to be tough. Let me ask you this, Marcus. When I go away on vacation, if I know I'm going away in 2 months, for those 2 months, I'm working out hard. I'm dieting. I'm running every day. So, I have a six-pack for the beach and stuff. Right now, you don't have a fight lined up. Are you still able to, like, focus and still work out as hard knowing there's not a fight?
I'm in the best shape of my life right now.
Are you really?
In my whole career, period. So, I mean, I don't think that's not a problem. I just feel like I've just gotten better with that. So, I mean, I'm in the best shape of my career, period. So.
How hungry are you coming off that loss? Are you, like, just starving to go get back in that ring?
Yeah, I want to fight. I'm gonna get back. You know, you're only as good as your last performance, so I'm just ready to go.
And we're not going to get into that fight with the headbutt and that garbage going to the scorecards. I'm not going to even get into that. But one question I do have, because like I said, I just had Adam on after his loss. How long do you feel sorry for yourself after that loss?
I didn't feel sorry for myself at all. Shit happens. It's boxing. You win some, you lose some. But losing is never part of the plan. But, yeah, I'm just ready to fight and just continue to show who I am as a fighter.
You ready to finish up with some quick hit questions?
Correct.
Here we go. You and I hanging out at the bar. Who's the coolest person in your phone that if you texted them, they would text you right back?
I'm not a groupie, so I don't know. Maybe my man Melvin Ingram for the Chargers.
Oh, that's a real good answer. That's a good answer.
Yeah, but I'm not a groupie, so I don't really be. I'm not friends with people just because of who they are and where they're at in life.
How about the coolest piece of memorabilia you own?
The coolest piece of memorabilia? Shit, I got a lot, but I like my Cause dolls. They're cool.
The what?
And baseball cards. Baseball cards, Cause dolls, who knows?
Really? So you're a baseball card guy?
Yeah.
That's pretty wild. How about last time you checked the rankings on ESPN to see where they had you?
Shit, I don't check at all.
you want to know, Marcus, this is what blows my mind. When I have, like, baseball and basketball and football guys on, I'm like, oh, do you listen to sports talk radio? They're like, no. I'm like, how don't you listen to it? They talk about you. So you don't go check the rankings?
Because you don't listen, because you don't listen to what outside voices say about you. That's not what you do as a professional athlete. You only focus on what you can control, and that's actually you harnessing your skill, becoming better, stronger, faster, and whatever. In whatever lane that you know, in whatever you're doing. But you actually listening to outside noises and reading up, and that's not what I would do. I never really did that.
I know you're a sneakers guy. Is there a holy grail pair of sneakers that you're dying to have?
Holy grail pair of sneakers. Sheesh. Golly. Fucking those Yeezys that's dropping in like 2 days.
Those are the ones. You know what? You're always looking forward, man, aren't you? You're always looking ahead.
Yeah, definitely. I'm not a guy that really just, you know, focus on the past, especially, you know, where I'm at in life right now. You know, I mean, I'm glad to have experienced those things and, you know, have certain things, but I'm never satisfied. I always want more. Maybe that's my problem.
No, I think first of all, that's not a problem. Only the greats think that way. You seem like you're in a great place now. Are you just like overly happy the way you are in life?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely, man. You know, my three kids right here. Mm-hmm. I'm living good. I don't bother nobody. I mind my business. So I'm in a good space.
When the heavyweight division is good, the whole boxing world's good because everyone pays attention. Thoughts on Fury Wilder 2 and prediction for 3?
Sheesh. I don't want to predict. I'm not a prediction guy. I like those guys. So I wish Deontay well. I hope he could bounce back.
How about this? You got to cut weight. It's time for your fight. What's the one meal you look forward to when the fight's over? If the fight's over, you can eat fat. You can eat whatever you want. What is Marcus Brown going to go eat?
Probably some crab legs with some pasta on the side. Because, you know, I'm a Staten Island kid, so I love Italian food. So, yeah. So definitely some pasta on the side, but I need some crab legs too. So I think I'm going to indulge in both at the same time.
Marcus, one fighter you'll never miss when they fight, no matter what you're doing. If so, if who's fighting, do you have to be home to watch it?
My Olympic teammates, all of them. Even Jose Ramirez. Shout out to my brother, you know, beating Paul Stell last night.
Yes, yeah, no, that was a great fight. So if any of them fight, you have to be there because you have that Olympic connection, right?
Yeah, definitely. I love to see my guys fight, progressing, and you know, winning, and you know, motivating me to just continue to be better too.
All right, three more questions. Will Marcus Brown be ordering Tyson versus Roy Jones Jr. on pay-per-view?
I'll be going to somebody else to watch it, but that's if that fight happens.
How about this? You ready? You're home now. We were quarantined. Everyone was bored. What's one show you found yourself binge-watching that you thought you'd never watch before?
Ellen, Games of Games.
And Marcus Brown, the best boxing movie of all time is what?
Creed.
Really? You loved it?
Yeah, I like Creed. I like, especially the second one with Tony Bellew, because, you know, I sparred with him before, and it was good to see him on a big screen, and Michael B. Jordan did a great job.
Amazing job. Listen, Sir Marcus Brown, this was a blast. I'm glad you gave me 20 minutes to catch up. I've really been dying to have you back on. I can't wait to see you back in the ring. I'm glad you're doing so well. You're so happy. You're a great father, a great human, a role model. Keep fighting the fight, my friend. We'll chat soon, and stay safe, all right? God bless you, man.
Mike, thank you. I appreciate you, brother. Thank you for having me on again. I won't go ghost on you anymore. Okay?
Don't go Hollywood on me, Marcus Brown. I don't want to talk any more trash with you.
This guy's, what do you call it, man? You trashing me for that. That's crazy. I'm a busy man, bro. What are you talking about?
I know, brother. I'll talk to you soon. I'm glad you forgave me, though, Marcus.
Later, man.
Be careful, brother. I'll talk to you soon, all right, my friend? Bye-bye.